when we go out to purchase items in town or go to different businesses, if it's something of a great value or a very important item, we will often do research and make sure that we know where we're going or what we're getting. And sometimes we'll talk with individuals and get their experience or their background on a particular item that we want to buy or a particular business that we're going to, and they will tell us what to look for. Well, if you're going to go buy such and such, here's what you need to look for. Or if you're going to go to a particular business and not another one, here's what you need to ask. And so people will give us advice based upon their experience so that we can be well informed in what we want to purchase or what business we want to frequent. This evening, I want to talk about what to look for in a local church. We have some of our young people are going to be leaving here shortly to go off to school. The time is passing very quickly. The summer is going by rapidly, and they'll be gone in a few weeks. And I know that some of the parents have been checking out local congregations in different areas, and that's important. What are we to look for in a local church? There are a lot of different situations that may put us in a position where we are going to be seeking out brethren to worship with. Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, after his conversion, went to Jerusalem and he wanted to join himself to those brethren there in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28 in our scripture reading. And when we find ourselves in similar situations today, what are we to be looking for? There are a number of different situations where we might find ourselves. We might be, as our seniors are going off to college, we might find ourselves relocating because of work. It might just be on a short-term basis with regard to going on vacation. What are we to look for in a local congregation? We live in a land where there's a lot of different choices. In some countries, there's not a lot of choices. And so we're limited, but we've been blessed in America because of the way things have unfolded over the past 150 years or so, where there are many places where Christians are meeting. How do we choose where we attend and where we worship and where we work? We're going to look at the New Testament and see some of those things. New converts need to seek out, and we might have visitors from time to time that visit with us, and they're making decisions maybe between us and another congregation in town. You'll have that as a situation. And I would encourage them to talk with our elders and talk with them about any future plans that you might have to be with us. We'd love to have you. But we find that situation from time to time where someone needs to make a decision. How do we make an informed decision? What choices do we make when there is more than one local congregation in a particular city? What factors go into choosing that? How does a Christian decide, and what criteria will be used? In the religious world today, there is a criteria that is often used that is not necessarily biblical. We're going to be looking at five New Testament biblical criteria this evening. It's not based upon is it close to our house or not. It's not based upon what does the church building look like. How's the auditorium set up? There are a lot of things that maybe the world might have in mind as a criteria, but we've got to look at what Jesus would say about the matter. How would he want us to choose a particular local congregation? I thought about our young people for this lesson this evening, but also all of us, what we can gain from it. I remember leaving home that first time and going to Tampa, Florida, and there were a lot of choices there, and I had to pick one at some point. It's a exciting time in your life. It's fun. It's exciting. It's new. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. when it comes to making choices about our relationship with Christ, we need to make sure that we are choosing the right thing. And then for the rest of us here this evening who may not be making this kind of choice anytime soon, Warfield Boulevard is our spiritual home. One thing that we can learn from this lesson this evening is what we need to be in a local congregation. And so I hope that there's something here this evening for all of us. What to look for in a local congregation. I appreciate when individuals give me advice. They have purchased something that I'm about to purchase. I'll have a family member or somebody else say, well, you know, I bought something like that last year. Here's what you need to look for. I appreciate that. I appreciate someone giving me that experience and that background and guiding me in that right direction. And in that vein this evening, that's what I hope for us this evening, that we will appreciate from God's Word those characteristics that He gives us that we need to be looking for. And if it means going a little bit farther, traveling a little bit farther, or maybe doing something that's a little less convenient, we know that we're going to be pleasing to God. In looking for a local congregation, I would say first and foremost that it needs to be a place where the gospel is simply and purely and boldly proclaimed. The elders of a local congregation certainly have and are supposed to have a great influence and example on the membership. But we also know that in attending a congregation week in and week out, it's the preaching that we hear a lot. We hear a lot of preaching. And rightly so. That's a part of the New Testament pattern. And the sermons that we hear, and of course we could include the Bible classes and things like that, these are things that affect us on a daily basis. We can attend somewhere where the gospel is not boldly proclaimed, or we can attend where it is boldly proclaimed. We live in a world, brethren, where things are softening, where things are not wanting to be boldly confronted, not just in the area of religion, but in all areas of our life. And it has come into the area of religion as well. And if we put ourselves in a position each week to hear only one side of the gospel, to hear only the positive, we might say, we're going to slowly influence ourselves to be thinking like that and acting like that ourselves. We need to be somewhere where the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and 27, is proclaimed. Those positive things, those negative things, those things that encourage and build us up, and those things that step on our toes and confront sin and error. We need to hear that. We need a fair and balanced approach to life, not only in other areas, but also in our service to God. Number one, we need to look for a place where the man is going to stand up, young or old, and simply and purely and boldly proclaim the gospel. The local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, 2 Timothy 3:15. And we need to be someplace where we are going to constantly be, regularly be taught the truth. Because we know, and especially in our young people and that environment that they're going into with that college or university study, we know that they're going to get the worldliness. We know they're going to get that during the week. When they come together, they need to be hearing truth. Truth. And all the truth and nothing but the truth. That is so important. I don't know how many times in my life I've heard stories of young people and others who have made a change and they've made a move because of work or school or whatever. And I've heard the same story over and over again, that they went and placed membership somewhere where the preaching was weak and they became weak in time. And sometimes they fall away. I've heard that many times. Where so-and-so, and maybe a younger person, they were around and influenced by this kind of soft preaching or this kind of preaching or that, And they become that way themselves. It happens over and over again. You know, from an audience standpoint, hearing me week in and week out, you know yourselves as an audience standpoint that the audience identifies with the speaker. I know that because you tell me that. When I get done preaching, you say, I'm on board with that. I appreciate that. I'm behind you all the way. The audience wants what's in the pulpit. Well, if I'm sitting there week in and week out and I'm hearing a certain type of thing, I begin to identify with that. I begin to be like that. And so it's very, very important. As I said earlier, I believe the elders are to have a clear influence and example in leadership among all the flock. But the stories that I hear, I hardly ever hear where somebody went somewhere and somebody says, well, the eldership took them in a certain way or another way. It's usually the preaching, the kind of preaching that they were hearing. So, number one, let's make sure that that's where we are. We have a lot of choices, and we don't want to be where some other gospel, and I put that in quotes, is proclaimed. Of course, we know about Galatians 1, 6 through 9, where even in Paul's day, some were preaching another gospel. It wasn't the same. He said it's a different one. Heteros, it's different. It's not the same New Testament gospel. And some of the brethren in the churches of Galatia were being taken into that. They were being influenced by that, the preaching. So let's make sure that it's book, chapter, and verse preaching. Let's make sure that week in and week out it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that it is balanced, and that it is the whole counsel of God. The person may not be dynamic. They may not be popular. They may not be entertaining. But I can tell if I sit at his feet week in and week out, I'm going to get the whole truth. It's going to be balanced. It's going to be the whole counsel of God. And that's what is important over speaking style or entertainment or how flashy the person is or how many people they draw. I'm going to look for plain gospel preaching. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Let's look at a second characteristic that we need to look for in a local congregation. We need to look for a local congregation like Jerusalem and other local congregations that we find in the New Testament who are willing to simply follow the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. This local congregation puts a premium that I'm looking at, that I want to be with. They put a premium on following the New Testament teaching. The New Testament pattern. They're not interested in 21st century religion. They're not interested in being like the world around them. They're not interested in contemporary worship and contemporary religion. These folks are just interested in being New Testament Christians following the New Testament pattern. I'm going to follow what the apostles taught. It may not be popular. It may not be exciting. It may not be 21st century, but I'm going to be with a group of Christians who follow that and nothing else. Paul talks about the importance of following the New Testament pattern. Hold fast the pattern, 2 Timothy 1:13. And here I have a choice of being with some Christians who I can tell they're holding on to that. They're not wanting to upgrade the worship to the 21st century. They don't have a traditional service and then a contemporary service. It's a service that just simply matches the New Testament pattern, and they're holding on to that. They may not be the big group in town or the popular group, but they are the ones that are just simply holding on to the New Testament pattern. look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't have that on the PowerPoint, but we could add that in. Where we have this idea of holding fast and holding on to things. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or epistle of ours. That's apostolic tradition. I want to be with a group of Christians who are willing to do that. And in particular, I'm looking at some things. I'm not just going to look at the building and where the building might be located. I'm going to look at what these people are doing. And I'm going to be with them and make a decision that what they're doing in their worship and in their work and in their organization with elders and deacons, I want to be where they're actually following that pattern, not just giving lip service to that. When I see them worship, I see them doing only what is in the New Testament. They have not added or taken away from that. When I see them engaged in their work, I don't see any social and recreational things. There's no gymnasiums and there's no ice cream parties and things like that. That's not in the New Testament. That's fine for individual. I like sports and I like ice cream. Individually, that's fine. It's not the work of the church. And I see that these brethren are just simply doing what Christ wants them to do in the area of evangelism and edifying those who are saved and being benevolent toward needy saints. I'm simply going to be with those who observe that apostles' doctrine. Again, it may not be popular, but I want to be with Christians who are going to hold fast to that pattern because that's important to me. Now, I need to know what that pattern is. And by the time I leave home to go off to school, hopefully I'm old enough that I know what that pattern is, and we won't take time this evening to go over the pattern. But your parents have raised you well, and you've heard lessons here in Bible classes. You know what that is. You know what the work of the church is and what the worship of the church is and how it's to be organized with elders and deacons. You know that, and you're going to seek that out. And you're going to be with brethren who are content to hold on to that. Because, again, we live in a world where, and it's not just today, it's always been a challenge among God's people, there's the temptation to follow the pattern of individuals around us. And it's not something new. God's people, back in the days of Samuel, said, "Give us a king like all the nations around us." They were looking around them for their ideas and for their leadership and for what they want. God was to be their king, and they said, "No, we want a king like all the nations around us." God's people look out to the world from time to time, and they get caught up with that. And we've got to be careful about that today. And even some among our brethren are looking out to the world. And so in the mid-1800s, some of our brethren see that the various little denominational groups around have instruments. And so we want an instrument too in Midway, Kentucky in 1850. And about 50 years later, some have women preachers. So we want that around the turn of the century. And later on, bringing human institutions in and social and recreational facilities. And by the time you get to the 1960s and early 1970s, the gymnasium and so forth. Where did that come from? It comes from looking out rather than looking inward into the apostles' pattern. And this group that I'm going to be with, they're not interested in looking out to the world and being like the world. If you stop and think about that, we would never... We would always be changing every day to keep up with the world. We could never settle on anything because there's always something new coming along. I just want to be where the apostles' doctrine is followed. And I want to be where brethren appreciate and are content with the New Testament pattern. And I want to work and worship with them. You know, we need to not be like the world in our living. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. We are pilgrims and sojourners. We're passing through. And it is challenging, but it can be done, and it must be done, that as we're passing through, we cannot take on the things of the world and be like the world. We're pilgrims, and Peter says to abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles. As we're passing through, we cannot, like a magnet, attract all of these worldly things in our talk and our dress and our attitudes and our choices that we're making. And so, we need to be living right. And so, in the third place, I'm going to talk a little bit about our attitude. When I go to look for a local congregation, it's important not just simply that they have the right worship, work, and organization. Not that they simply have the right actions, they sing without an instrument, and they fully immerse someone when they baptize them, but they also have the right attitudes. You can have a situation in town where there might be more than one group that has the right actions, but we also need to be the group that has the right actions with the right attitudes. The attitude of love and unity and working together. You can have a group that serves the Lord's Supper every Sunday, just like Acts 27, but they could be divided. There could be strife and quarreling and people not getting along. And so in the third place, let me suggest this, that when we look for a local congregation to be with, we want to be with brethren who have the right actions. That was our previous point. But we also need to have the right attitudes. Is there joy? You know, when the Ethiopian eunuch comes up out of the waters of baptism, he goes on his way rejoicing. Is there joy in the congregation? Are there good works? Is there love? Jesus talks about how that love among the disciples would show the world that they are His followers. Is there unity? John 17, 20 through 23. Or is it a clique or strife or not getting along? Is there peace, Romans 14, 17, in matters of personal judgment and scruple and opinion? Or is there fighting? Are the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth, are those things practiced? Let me encourage you to seek out a group, and let's be a group ourselves of not just the right actions, but also the right attitude. In growing up, my father preaching, and we might say growing up in the church, but in my adult years, I have probably seen more in my lifetime issues involving attitudes than unauthorized actions. In my preaching and teaching and being in different congregations, I've seen more problems with attitudes than unauthorized actions. Every once in a while I'll see and be a part of something intimately that involves a brother or sister and something that they're saying about a particular verse that's not right, but in my lifetime it's been more of the other. Strife, envy, jealousy, division, backbiting, whatever, gossip, whatever. And so when I seek out a congregation, I need to look deeper than do they take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Do they sing without an instrument and those types of things? How are they as brethren? That's important. Are they displaying the fruits of the Spirit? And so attitudes of righteousness and peace and joy and love and unity practiced by all. And if there was some little something that came up, everybody's going to work hard to stay together, not see how quickly we can be apart. And we are traveling through this world. And a part of our right attitude is an attitude toward the world. And we're not going to live like the world. And when I come into this group, regardless of their location or regardless of their size, I can tell pretty quickly by their language and their dress and their talk that they don't want to be like the world. And this is the place for me because I'm going through this world and I need all the help I can get. I need good, sound gospel preaching every week to help me get through this world. I need brethren outside the preaching, all the brethren who are committed to just simply following the New Testament. That's going to keep me tied down to the truth. I need that. And I need brethren with the right attitudes where I see unity and love and joy and peace. Because out in the world, I see all the opposite of that. The war and the depression and the hate and the division. I get all of that out in the world. I need to come to a place where I can get away from that and get help with passing through this world. Let's look for and let's be a local congregation that not only has the right actions, but also the right attitudes. Again, in my personal life, I have heard of several cases where younger people left the faith. And when the story was told to me or the background was given to me, it was this. It was not because a local congregation brought in the instrument or a local congregation stopped serving the Lord's Supper every Sunday. It was because they were witnessing the bad attitudes that were going on. The division, the lack of love, and things like that. And young people see that, and they're like, I don't want to be a part of that. Seek out the group that has the right attitudes, along with the right actions. Look for a congregation where every member is used. This is very, very important. You know, just in our own physical lives, we need to use our bodies. We need to be functioning. We need to be mobile. We need to be using it. If we don't use something, it will atrophy. It will weaken. That's true in just physical life, and it's also true in spiritual life. And so I want to be at a place where I will be used. I need to come in and sit down and be a part of the assembly, but I also need to be active. That's how I grow. That's how I stay spiritually healthy. And so Apollos in Acts chapter 18 wanted to go and be used and be active in helping the church at Corinth. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're very familiar that a local congregation is described as a body. And the members need to be active. And so I'm going to go to a place where they are telling me that I can be used. Maybe I'm a man and I can be used in the assembly in some way. Maybe I'm a woman and I can be used in some other way in teaching a class. And by the way, for our young people who are already in college and going off to college, let me encourage you that even though you might be gone for short stints or periods of time, just a few months here and then you come home at Christmas break in a few months, I would strongly encourage you to place membership and tell the brethren, while I'm here, you know, September, October, November, December, use me. I want to be used. I want to be active. I can help teach a Bible class of younger kids. I can serve. Or young men, I can serve in the assembly. Let me encourage you to do that because the more we stay active, the stronger spiritually we are. But we know in 1 Corinthians 12 and other Bible passages, chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, and we read down through there and we find that God tempers the whole body together and all the members are needed. I want to be at a place where I can stay active. Ephesians 4:16, that which every joint, and that's me, that which every joint supplies, that's what we want to be thinking. I might be an older person, but I can still do something. Let me help doing this or let me help doing that. I might be a man, might be a woman, might be young, might be old. There's something for me to do, and I want to be at a place where I'll be used. Because that's going to help me to stay faithful to God. I don't want to be somewhere where I'm going to go to die. You know, Sardis was the church that had a name that they were living, but they were dead. I don't want to go somewhere and die, spiritually speaking. I don't want to go somewhere where I'm going to be inactive, because we know from our own physical bodies that we atrophy. We get weak when we don't exercise and when we don't move. We have to eat, we have to move, and we stay strong. And so we have to spiritually eat, and we have to spiritually be moving. If we talk with brethren and they say, well, you know, I don't know if there's anything you can do here, that might be an indication that you might want to be somewhere else. I try to tell brethren when they come visit, we can use you. I want to work with you. I want to be active with you. Because I know that that's what's important for our lives. And then last of all this evening, I want to give one last characteristic of what to look for in a local congregation. We need to go somewhere where the truth is going to be accepted. And that truth may be coming from us. Sometimes there are groups that we could go be with that are closed-minded, they're closed door, they don't want to listen to anything else. They don't want to be helped. Buy the truth and sell it not. And when we bring that truth with us, are the brethren there open to that, or are they closed-minded? Do you remember in 3 John verses 9 and 10, if you'll turn with me there, there was a group of Christians that had this man named Diotrephes, and he's known in Scripture as being the one who wanted to have the preeminence, and he wanted to have the control of this group. And notice what the text says, that he loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He didn't want John and the apostles coming in and bringing truth. There are some brethren, even, that don't want truth. Sherry and I witnessed the opposite of this just a couple of weeks ago, and I have not seen this very much in my lifetime. But in the past year or so, up in a little community up in Kentucky, some sound brethren moved in, and part of it just had to do with what we've been talking about earlier. You move because of family, or you move because of work. They just moved into a community that they wouldn't have otherwise been a part of. Through the providence of God, here they are now. And there are no what we would call conservative or non-institutional churches in the area. None. So they begin to visit this small group, and one of the first things that some of these brethren did was they said, can we study? Can we study the differences? And it had to do with the kitchen and the orphan home and some other things. Long story short, this congregation now is sound and conservative. Those who didn't want the truth left. those who sought out the truth and loved the truth. They learned. They appreciated being taught. They had not heard these things before. And that's where I spoke a couple of weeks ago when I was out of town. That is rare. You hardly see that. But it still happens. And we have to be open-minded to the truth. And where we are going and where we want to be, is that group going to be open to the truth? Or is it like the Diotrephes? I don't want to hear anything. And so what he did, verse 10, was John says, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works, which he does, prating against us with wicked words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren. He didn't want the truth. He didn't want godly associations. And them that would, he forbiddeth and casteth them out of the church. It's clearly a closed-minded situation here. We don't want the truth. But not everybody's like that. Seek out brethren who are open to truth. And that will always be a good thing. Well, as we close this evening, I would suggest that these are biblical things to look for. You know, a church might have a lot of programs. You might visit and, you know, see on the bulletin board all the different things that are going on. But that's not necessary. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're following truth. They might have attendance. They might have large crowds. They might have all age groups. They might have a lot of young people. But they may not necessarily be following what the Scripture teaches. Some of these things might be nice, but they're not necessary. They're not a priority. You know, they might have a dynamic preacher. You know, he's whatever that is. And a lot of people like him. And he draws big crowds, but if he's not balanced, then I'm not going to get a balanced spiritual diet when I'm there. I'm going to get some exciting lessons, but I'm not going to learn the whole Word of God. There might be good singing. I like singing. I don't think anybody enjoys singing more than I do. I love singing. And there might be all four parts, and there might be great song leaders and all of that, and that's a great thing. It's nice, but it's not necessary. One summer in college, I preached for a group of five Christians. All summer, five Christians. There was barely, I don't even think we had four parts. I was six. Brethren, that doesn't matter. We met in a living room, but they were godly brethren, and they were all the things that we talked about earlier. That's what's important. Look for what's important. The group might have a lot of young people, and I know that our young people seek that out, but I'm here to tell you, we moved around a lot growing up, and I'm here to tell you that there were times when we were in congregations that had a lot of young people, and there were times when it was just my brother and I, but we made it okay. You'll make it. It's nice, but it's not necessary. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we have to drive an extra 30 minutes. It would be nice if it were located next to our home, but it would be better to go to that place that was these things that we talked about earlier, even if it's farther away. All during high school, my brother and I, with mom and dad, drove 50 minutes one way. 50 minutes to be with sound, faithful brethren, and we crossed right through a town, the town that I went to high school in, right through a town in a nice, sizable, institutional Church of Christ, but they were not following the New Testament pattern. We had to drive about 50 minutes. It'll be okay. You can do it. And it doesn't matter what the facilities are like and what their building is like and if they have PowerPoint or not or all of these kinds of things. It matters if we're following the New Testament. Seek out those Christians who are right with Christ. These other things are nice, but they're not necessary. And as we close, let's just remind ourselves of a few things. Of Christ, we talk about a church of Christ. Of or belonging to Christ is not determined by a directory somewhere, although I'm glad that brethren have put some things together to aid us, but that alone does not necessarily point us in the direction of a church that is doing these things that we talked about tonight. Often, rather than a directory, just one-on-one conversation and personal contact is even better. Of Christ is not determined by the words on the sign out front. There's a lot of buildings with Church of Christ on the sign, but they're not following the New Testament pattern. And of Christ is not determined by past history. We may have known that in a particular town that such and such church has kind of been known for this or that, but what are they now? I've known of situations, especially in the area of preaching, where preaching is dramatically changing in our current world. And that congregation that was known for such and such is no longer that anymore because of the current preaching or the current eldership or something like that. We have to do digging deeper. Of Christ is determined by the attitude and action as it relates to the New Testament. And that's what we've studied this evening. So, ask questions. Get reports. Do your own investigation. Talk to people. What do I need to look for? In Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, we'll close with this. With regard to the newly formed church in Antioch, the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch. The report. What we are as a congregation, one way or another, the word gets out. What word do we want to get out regarding Warfield Boulevard? But the word gets out, and we can talk to people, and we can find out what a group is about, and we can be with a faithful group. And we want to be that way when Jesus comes again. I think about the seven churches of Asia. Which one would we want to be in of those seven churches? You know, you think about Laodicea. That was the one that had a lot of money. I want to be at Laodicea. They had a lot of money. But then I show up and I'm there a little while. Oh, these folks are lukewarm. Well, maybe I'll go to Sardis. I've always heard that Sardis was the well-known church. And so I show up at Sardis and I find out after a little while, well, these folks are dead. See, we have to do some work. And know our scriptures and know the word of God. And let's be at a place that when Jesus comes again, we'll be at a place that he will commend, not condemn. Well, I was thinking again about our young people. They're fast approaching. You're going to leave home for college. That's a good thing to do. You can leave home, but listen, don't leave God for college. You can leave home for college, but you can't leave God for college. Keep him in your life. And the local congregation is tantamount and extremely important in doing that. There may be someone here this evening that we can help be baptized into Christ, or there may be a child of God who needs to come back in some way, and we can help you with that. We always offer an invitation, and we want to offer that this evening. We're going to stand and sing this song. Come forward, if you will, as we stand and sing at this time, and we'd be glad to help you.